You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Last night, we already prepared the preaching kasi we've been asked to preach na, to prepare a preaching for today. And we already have prepared preaching coming here in Dumaguete. We arrived yesterday, but God spoke to us and we had a meeting last night at Tom and Tom's, okay? We had a meeting there and we prayed, Lord, we don't want just to preach a preaching that we prepared, but we really want to know what word you want for the Victory Dumaguete Church. So we prayed there, and this is the word that came to me and to us as we were praying for Dumaguete. While we were traveling, I was thinking, what does Dumaguete means? Or what is the history of the city Dumaguete? Where does it come from? I look up into your website, dumaguetecita.gov.ph, and I saw in 1734, the first name, the Dumaguete was first coined, and it's from the Cebuano word dagit, which means to snatch. Diba? Parang medyo negative connotation, to snatch. Now, how many of you experience na manakawan or masnatchan? How many of you experience someone going to your house or someone taking your cell phone? Sino sa inyo may experience sa ganun? Wala masyado. Sino sa inyo hindi nyo pa na-experience manakawan? Sino sa inyo kahit anong itanong ko, hindi nyo itatas ang kamay nyo? Ayan, sabi ko na nga ba eh. Okay. So, di ba, ang hirap ng feeling ng manakawan. But Dumaguete came from the word snatch. And the word Dumaguete, meaning to swoop, was coined because of frequent raids by Moro pirates on this coastal community and its power to attract and keep visitors both local and foreign. So, it came from a very negative term. Pirates came here to snatch goods and resources. And also because when people stay here, it seems like they're snatched. When you come to Dumaguete, it seems it's so hard to leave Dumaguete because Dumaguete is a lovely place, right? It started with a negative connotation. It's about snatch. The word there is swoop. Snatch means it's a fast-acting stealing. Parang namalayan mo na lang na nanakawan ka. Alam niyo yung feeling na gano'n? Parang namalayan mo na lang na wala na yung pera mo. Namalayan mo na lang na nakawan ka na ng puso. Yun. Sino sa inyo may katabing parang nanakawan ng puso? Okay. Nanakawan ng smile, okay? Lumingon ka lang, akin ka na. Parang ganun. Okay? So parang it's a negative connotation. It's like a fast-acting stealing. So we prayed for Dumaguete. Lord, what do you want for Dumaguete? What do you want God's people to hear for this city, for this place? And we prayed for Dumaguete. Okay, and then Dumaguete. And this is the word of God that came to us, that a divine reversal of the story behind the name Snatch will happen in the city. Many things have been stolen in the city. Many lives have been destroyed, have been shattered. And the reputation of Dumaguete has been reversed by the enemy. But I believe God's word for us today is this, that He will reverse it, but this city will be a city of love, a city of victory, a city that will change people because the people here are changed and they will experience life from God. And that's where I will take off. We believe that this church, how many of you believe that this church will be so explosive that this place cannot contain you anymore? Naniniwala ba kayo doon? Parang hindi. Okay? That you, your Victory group mates, your office mates, your family will come here and get to know God and experience the powerful miracle of God. It's like an incredible victory for God's people will come as described in the verse John 10:10. And there we end up coming with the word today. We will all preach about John 10:10. But before I preach about John 10:10, I remember the feeling of nanakawan nga, having something very important to you being stolen or snatched. I was a freshman in UP Los Baños, and I'm not from Los Baños, I'm from Quezon City, but I studied in Los Baños. My brother was there, he was graduating. And one time, it was late at night, it was the first few months of me studying in a different place. No parents there, only my brother and I staying in an apartment that we were renting in Los Baños. One time, my brother forgot to close the doors or lock the doors. So we woke up, losing our cell phones, losing our wallet, losing some of my shoes and some of his shoes. It was really discouraging and very traumatic for me. Kakasalta ko lang sa Los Baños. Ganito kagad yung mangyayari. And that feeling was so traumatic for me. The feeling of something was stolen from you, something very important. And I was saving up for money to buy a new rubber shoes. I love rubber shoes. I love basketball and basketball shoes. And I was saving up for that, and then it suddenly was stolen. So now I have to start all over again to save up, and now we lost our cell phones also. And at the same time, scolded by our parents because we failed to lock the door. So it's a very hard feeling, very traumatic experience for me. How many of you can relate to that? Something being stolen or being snatched from you. And maybe some are very trivial or simple. Nawala ng cellphone, nawala ng wallet, nawala ng pera. What if something so important was stolen from you? Maybe for some of you, a relative. It feels like it was stolen from you because that relative met an accident. Or maybe that relative died from a sickness. A lifetime of memories was stolen from you. Or maybe you had a relationship. You felt like it was love, that it was real. It is something that you are excited about, but at the end of the day, niloko ka lang pala. Your heart was stolen from you. Or maybe worse, your purity was stolen from you. Or maybe you are here today, you were dreaming of graduating on time. By the way, sa mga hindi nakagraduate on time, quality education takes time, okay? You were dreaming of graduating on time and having this career in mind that you will be rich and you will be supporting your family and you have high aspirations. But then your professor gave you a 5, a destiny, a career, a dream was stolen from you. It's so difficult to have that feeling, that experience of something being stolen for you. Now, the question we have in our mind when every time something is stolen from us is this: can it still be restored? Can it still be renewed? Can it still be replaced? Can I still have a joyful, abundant, and victorious life? And that's what I will share to you about today. There is someone that wants to steal from us, but there is also someone that will restore everything that was stolen from us. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open to John chapter 10, verse 10. Can I ask everyone to stand? Let's read the Word of God. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is a very short verse, but a very famous verse. It says here, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's try to analyze and understand this very short verse, phrase or words, words for words or phrase by phrase, and let's understand what this all means to us. Okay, let's start with the word thief. The thief, if you look at the context of this verse, Jesus was talking about different people. People have been influencing others and pushing away towards God. So somehow, Jesus who spoke, who said this. Jesus was trying to say, it's a warning. Be aware of the false teachers, of the false prophets who will try to snatch you, to steal you away from the destiny that I have for you. They will be teaching you and they will be pushing you and they will be encouraging you to do this and to do that so that you have an abundant, you can have a wonderful life. So they will try to entice you with different things. That's what Jesus is trying to say to the listeners during the time. They will try to teach different things, false things, lies, so that you can have a wonderful life. So what they will do is this. They will steal, kill, and destroy. And I will explain later what these three things means. Now, in our context today, as we relate to this, what does this thief mean to us? Of course, it still talks about false prophets and false teachers. But it also pertains to anyone or anything that entices you to achieve abundant life to a direction opposite of God. Anyone or anything that entices you, kumbaga parang nililigawan ka, sumama ka sa akin, yayaman ka dito, pag ikaw nag-invest dito, magiging mas marami kang pera, sasaya ka. Yan. Pag ako sinagot mo, pag niligawan kita, you will have a wonderful life. You will have the moon and the stars in the sky. Pag ako sinagot mo, ililibre kita ng endgame. Ikaw naman, sige na nga. Pero may spoiler. Eh, may spoiler pala. No? Pero, ganun yun. Parang it's like false people or false ideologies for that matter or false beliefs or false source promising of different things that will entice us to have an abundant life, a wonderful life that is opposite to God. So Jesus is trying to say, be careful with these people. These people will try to say to you, if you want to be happy, you need to have more money. If you want to be happy, you need to have this and that and do this and do that. So Jesus is trying to warn them, be careful of these people. And these people says that what they will do is the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does these three things mean? Steal, kill, and destroy. Again, the context are the false teachers. Now, the context of this is about these false teachers will try to take the people and use it for worship. Okay? So they will try to get sheep. So the context of this is Jesus like giving an illustration about the shepherd and the sheep. So he'll get sheep that is for the purpose of worship. During those times, they use sheep to as a sacrifice to worship God. So this time, the false teachers, the false prophets, will take those sheep, instead of using it for the purposes of God, will use it to a different offering for other things. So yun yung context nun. They will steal the sheep, they will kill the sheep, they will destroy it, and use it for a different purpose. It's like our world today. Many things in our life will try to steal our time with God. I'm not saying all things are bad. I'm not saying video games. I'm not saying Mobile Legends or Korean novelas. Sino yung nagko-Korean novela? I'm not saying all those things are bad. But sometimes these things will try to steal our devotion from God. Or maybe, not just those things, but maybe we will be devoted to our work. Right? Even our time with God will be compromised. And this work, this career will try to promise you, if you work, and don't go to church, you will be rich. You will be happy. You will be fulfilled. Not just maybe work, but maybe a love life. Pag sinagot mo ko, hindi mo na kailangan mag-church. Or maybe the toxic relationships that we are in right now, instead of pushing us towards the purposes of God, it pulls us away from Him. They will steal, they will kill our destiny, they will destroy our relationship with God. The thief wants to use us to be offered for other things. We always say, I learned this way back when I was still a student. I remember Pastor, I don't know if you know, Pastor Gilbert Foliente, the president of Every Nation Philippines. He was preaching about his love story. He was preaching about purity and holiness and how they ended up getting married and how they honor God with their marriage. And this one particular action that they did really struck me. He said, the first time they kiss one another, nung girlfriend niya, nung fiancé niya, na asawa niya na ngayon, the first time they kiss one another, as in kiss, kahit sa noo, sa cheeks, wala. The first time they kiss one another was when the pastor said, you may now kiss the bride. And it really struck me. And from the day I was a freshman, I prayed to God, Lord, I want to have that love story as well, that my first kiss will happen on the wedding day. But sometimes, by the way, I was able to accomplish that by the grace of God. But I'm also, it's not really an easy task to do. There are really a lot of struggles, but because of God's grace towards me, we were able to do the kiss on the first wedding, and it was the most exciting. Hindi naman pala, wala pala akong compare, no? Okay? But it was so glorious. Yung maghahaligan kami ng misis ko, hindi ko alam kung paano ko siya hahalikan. Paano ba to? Kasi first time ko. Ayan. Pero sabi ko, ang sarap palang maghalik. Yan. Ang sarap palang maghalikan sa harap ng Panginoon. Yun. But you know what? Sometimes the enemy will try to entice us. You know, you need to show your love for one another. It's okay to kiss. It's okay to do sex. Hello? Because you love one another, then it's okay to do that. The enemy will try to steal the purity in our lives. For the students, how many of you here are graduating or wanting to graduate? Sino sa inyo gusto nyong graduate kayo? Lord, yung mga hindi nagtaas ng kamay, huwag mong pag-graduatein. Ayaw nila eh. Ayaw nila. Yes, Lord. Ulitin ko, sino sa inyo gusto nyong graduate? Ayan, Lord, sige na nga, pagbigyan mo yung humabol ng kamay. Amen. Okay. Sometimes, the enemy will entice us. For example, you are graduating and it was your final exam. And this exam will tell you if you will graduate or not. And lo and behold, you're having a hard time answering that exam. And there will be the thief wanting to steal your destiny, your purpose, your purity, your integrity. Alam mo, mangopya ka na. Isang sagot lang naman. Si Lord naman, mapagpatawad. Tapos ngayon, you come to a realization, oo nga no, si Lord talaga to. Talagang katabi ko pa yung top one namin. It's a provision from God. So ginamit mo pa si Lord, di ba? Kopya naman. Yeah, pumasa ako, praise God. Lagay ka sa Facebook mo ng testimony mo. It's by the grace of God, nakagraduate ako. Pero hindi nila alam. Someone stole the integrity in your heart. Because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And you will be so discouraged that you don't want to move forward. Because there is so much distraction. The enemy will try to steal. Paunti-unti lang. Nagsimula sa patikim-tikim. Pinilit mong gustuhin. Nagsimulang lumalim hanggang hindi mo na kayang tanggalin. Kabilin. Alam niyo ba yung kantang yun? Nung una, ayaw mo, ayoko niyan, mapait, mapait, mapait. Sasabihin ng mga friends mo, try mo lang, try mo lang. Masasanay ka rin. Oo nga, no. Masarap pala mapait. Biglang masaya na. Because the enemy will try to steal isang tikim, isang tikim, isang tikim, isang tikim. And then later you realize you're getting destroyed. The enemy will try to steal your purity. Wala ka namang ginagawang masama, manunood ka lang ng 18 years old ka na, R18, pwede ka na dyan. Ano ba naman yun? Lalaki ka naman. Wala ka namang sinasaktan. Until you found yourself wanting more, started with stealing, glimpse, and then you're killing yourself because you're wanting it and desiring it until you're getting destroyed. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy will present to us a counterfeit version of abundant life. He will try to entice us. Oh, ligawan mo na yan. Ligawan mo na yan. Single ka naman, dita. Okay naman. Basta nagmamahal lang kayo. Ang motto mo, the more entries, the more chances of winning. Ano ang pagsusota, raffle? The enemy will try to steal your heart, kill your heart, and destroy your destiny. But the good news is, are you excited for the spoiler? Good news. Okay. The good news is that the statement of Jesus did not end with the thief. Amen? He did not end with the thief. He said, I came. Because the world during the time, they've been so enticed pursuing worldly pleasures. They've been so enticed pursuing different things. But Jesus said, you've been pursuing many things. Now I came to pursue you. You know what? It is not us who pursued God, but it's God who pursued us. Amen? I came, he said, I came. You've been choosing others. And as you chose others, as you chose other things, somehow you've been You've been getting destroyed bit by bit. But I want to promise you, it will turn around. It will turn around. Whatever the thief has stolen from you and has killed and destroyed in your life, I will turn it around. And he said, I will come that they may have life and have it abundantly. The enemy has stolen so much from you. Your destiny, your purity, your integrity, your future, your relationships. Ang dami mo nang sasaktan, ang dami mo na rin nadaan ng pagsakit. Lord, may pag-asa pa ba akong magka-love life? Sino sa inyo gusto nyo magkaroon ng magandang marriage someday sa mga single? Lord, yung hindi ulit nagtaas na kamay, huwag mong bibigyan ng marriage. Wag, Lord. Ayaw nila. Okay. Ulitin ko ulit, sino sa inyo gusto nyo magkaroon ng magandang marriage someday? Yun naman. Yung plastikan pa tayo, mga kapatid. Okay. Sabi ko na nga ba, liars go to church. Okay. We all want that, but this is what Jesus did. I came. Okay, nasaktan kayo before, naloko kayo before, may niloko kayo before. But I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly. The thief, the false teachers intended to steal, kill, and destroy. But this Jesus said, I will give you life. Whatever has been stolen for you, I will turn it around. I will use it and bring it back. In fact, that is what exactly happened to Jesus. When he was on the cross, when he was about to die, his dignity was stolen. He was being embarrassed. He was being tortured. They were mocking at him and they were humiliating him. They were flogging him and they really wanting to destroy him. They destroyed his life. They killed him. They crucified him. They destroyed his relationship. All the people na mga friends si Jesus, na-experience na ba yun? Yung mga kaibigan nyo, iniwan kayo sa ere? Imagine Jesus, he invested his life to these 12 people whom he called friends and his closest to. One of them betrayed him. One of them denied him. Everyone else hid. When he was on the brink of dying, only one was there when he was on the cross. Na-imagine nyo ba yung feeling na gano'n? Na-imagine nyo ba may gimmick yung barkada nyo? Tapos, ikaw lang ang hindi kasama. Gumawa sila ng sarili nilang group chat, ikaw lang yung wala doon. Di ba ang sakit noon? Ay, gumimik pala kayo. Ay, oo nga, hindi ka namin nasabihan. But imagine Jesus on his death. Everyone was gone. His relationship was stolen. While on the cross, the most important relationship was stolen from me. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was stolen from him. His health, he died. Everything was stolen. He was killed. He was destroyed. And the enemy were thinking, the false teachers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all rejoicing. They were all happy. Now he ended the life of this man, Jesus Christ. All the people that he helped healed. He fed the 5,000. All these people were shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify. But then they thought they won. They thought they stole everything from him. Little did they know, on the third day, everything will be restored. Last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, right? On the third day, everything was restored. Everything was put to order. And not just that, because of the death and resurrection, he came not just for his life, but we all came with it. Now we can have life. An abundant life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't need to live in sin. We don't need to live in shame and guilt because Jesus Christ has forgiven us on that cross and has resurrected so that we can have life and abundant life. They don't realize. Akala nila, yes, panalo na kami. Woo! Di nila alam, may end credits pa pala. And that is Jesus resurrecting on the third day. And he said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. the thief, offering the sheep, offering us for a different purpose. But Jesus became the sheep so that we don't need to be offered anymore for the wrong purposes. He offered his life. He became sin for us so that we can live for him and with him. In other words, Christ did not just come to give life. He came to be our life. I want you to know, church. I want you to know, Victory Dumaguete, 11 a.m. service. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to pray. It sounds blasphemous, right? You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to do anything for this church. You don't need to do that. Because our life is about Jesus now. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we do. Now, why are we attending service? Why? To celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. Meron ba sa inyong nag-require? O, attend ka naman sa party ko. O, pumunta kayo sa party ng friend nyo kasi gusto nyo lang maki-celebrate. Meron ba kayong in-attend ang party, required ang attendance? Wala, no? Diba? But we go to service because we celebrate the goodness of God. I hope that you're going here every Sunday not to get something out from God or to pay your guilt, but I hope you're here today because you want to celebrate Jesus in your life. I hope you're praying not just because it's required, not because you want something from God. I hope you're praying because you want to talk to the most important person in your life. I hope you're reading your Bible because you're just so excited to hear His words and read His messages. Sino sa inyo dito meron kayong mahal sa buhay? Oh, konti lang ulit. Sige, okay lang. Di ba pag meron kayong mahal sa buhay, kunyari meron kayong crush. Sino sa inyo meron crush? Okay. Pag may crush kayo, di ba? Pag nag-text yung crush mo, iba ang dating. Pag nag-text ang ibang tao, okay, nag-text siya, alright. Pero pag nag-text yung crush mo at ang text niya, who you? Nag-text siya sa akin. Gusto niya ako makilala. Beshi. Iba dating, di ba, pag crush mo nag-text, who you lang yun, ha? I hope and I pray, every time we read the text of God, we will be so excited because it's the most important person of our life. Jesus doesn't just want us to have abundant life. Jesus wants us to be Him as our life. Let me share to you a story. I want to show you this. Mention na may picture yan. This is Cecil. One of, pinaalam ko sa kanya to, no, na i-share sa inyo. I shared this last Sunday sa Victory Santa Cruz, but I want you to hear also as well. Cecil is one of our Victory Group leaders. She's a mom. She's happily married. They have a good life. Her husband is earning well. She has a job as well. She's very active in the church. She serves in the ushering ministry. She serves in the kids' church. She's always there. Sabi ko nga, parang gusto mo bang tumira dito sa center? Sabi ko sa kanya, ganun, loko siya. And then, seeing her, it seems like she has a good and abundant life. But as we interviewed her and found out about her story, it's not always the case. Now, let me share to you her story. Before she became a Victory Group leader and a faithful volunteer of our church, she was living a life of struggle and poverty. She grew up in a family where there's so much abuse, physical and verbal abuse, and there's so much poverty. So she said to herself, I want to escape this life. I want to have a better life, an abundant life. So she decided, she found a man. So ginawa nila, nagtanan sila. Ano bang English na nagtanan? Basta, they stole away and started their own lives. They did not marry, okay? They did not get married, but they lived with each other and have a son. Okay, nagkaanak sila. So she was thinking, this is the life that I want. This is the abundant life. Okay? So after a few months, of happiness and joy, her partner decided to work abroad as a seaman. Okay, pumayag sila, they agreed, okay, you work so that we can have more money, yay! And after a few months, there was no sign of his partner anymore. No contact, No feedback, no nothing. He is not dead, but he is hiding from her. Got her thinking, how can I provide for my daughter? And at the same time, she found out that her dad experienced a stroke, so he cannot work anymore. So he needed to provide also for her parents. So one time, she was in Laguna, she met a friend and offered her a job. You know what? I will offer you a job. Let's go to Manila and you will earn a lot. Okay, she said yes. And then when they went to Manila, she was offered prostitution. She said to herself, I have no choice anymore. I need to provide. I need to have money. I want to have a good life. Okay, I will do it. For the next 4 years, she was a prostitute. And then she was earning well. She brought her family from Laguna to Cavite to escape gossips and the talk of the people. And she was providing well for her child and for her son and for their family. She was earning well. She did all the stuff. She did drugs. She did vices. And then during the course of her job as a prostitute, of her life as a prostitute, she met a man, again, promising an abundant life. I will marry you. You will not need to work like this anymore. Let's stay together. She got so excited. She took that promise, having an abundant life. So they stayed again for a season. Her family was in Cavite. They stayed in Laguna. She and her partner, they stayed there for a while. And after a few months, she found out that the guy was married. But still, the guy said, no, I will divorce, I will file an annulment, and I will marry you. So she held on to that word, but they were living in adultery. And still, she continued her job as a prostitute. But then again, this guy left her. No contact. She was waiting for the call. She left her number. She borrowed the landline phone of her neighbor and said, I will wait for that call for my partner. But the call did not come. No calls. As she was waiting, she was so depressed, she was so discouraged. That neighbor said, maybe I can help you. Can you come with me to church? So she said to herself, I have no choice. I have no one to run to. She said yes. As they were entering the church, she felt a peace in her heart. As she was sitting down on the chairs, the pastor was speaking about you who do vices, you who do commit adultery, you who do drugs. And he scolded his friend and her neighbor and said, binenta mo ba ako sa pastor? Sinsan nyo na-experience nyo yung ganun? Parang pinariringa kayo ng pastor. Yan. Pero pinariringan ako ng pastor. Anong sinabi mo sa pastor? And then she heard the preaching more and more. As the pastor continues, he mentioned about a verse about God changing the situation of people. And this is the exact words that she said to me. She felt God was telling her. Sabi ni God sa kanya, mahal kita. Tanggap kita, malinis ka. I love you, I accept you. You are pure and holy. It kept ringing on her head. And then she cried and she cried and she cried. And then she decided, I want to live my life of sin now. He shared their testimony to the church. And then they helped her, they adopted her. And then for a week, they were providing for her because nag-quit na siya sa prostitution. Nag-quit na po siya. Pero wala na siyang trabaho, wala siyang pera. So, pinatry muna. But she was worried about her family, her son, and her parents. So, the first week she called, mangutang muna kayo sa tindahan, papadala ako next week. Okay, the following week, wala pa rin siyang trabaho. She was being adopted and provided for by the churchmates. And then she did not call the family because she doesn't really know where to get the money. On the third week, she's getting discouraged. She was really getting more and more worried. She was left no choice. On the fourth week, she went back on her list, her clients, and she said to herself, I have no choice. I need to go back to my old life so that I can provide for my family. As she was thinking of going back to her old life, her mother called. and said, "Anak, umuwi ka na. Hindi mo na kailangan muna magtrabaho. Yung tatay mo, magaling na sa stroke, aalis bukas, magsa-Saudi, dito ka na lang muna sa bahay." How many of you God rescues in a timely way? And then she went back to Cavite, did not go back to prostitution, and found a job, a decent job in Cavite. When she was able to save up much, they went back to their hometown in Laguna so that she can continue serving in the church. And she was thinking, "Lord, maybe can you give me a husband? Can you give me a love life? I've been single. Pumapangit na ba ako?" Sabi niya sa sarili niya. For 5 years, single siya after she surrendered her life to God. After 5 years, she met this man, a Christian, a churchmate. She told him her story. He accepted her all the way, and they got married. She surrendered her life to God, and God gave her an abundant life. And now they have 3 kids. They are all serving God. And then, not just that, because she said, "It's not just about me experiencing the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God. It's also about sharing my testimony and my story and God's story to others." Just last month, she became a Victory Group leader. How many of you can say that God can turn things around and can change what the enemy has stolen from our lives? This is the exact verse she heard from the preaching of the pastor. Hindi po ako yung pastor na narinig niya ng time na yon, but this is the exact verse. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." If you are here today and you have past, if you have a dirty past, a dirty secret, a dark secret, a shameful experience that you cannot share to anyone, I want you to know this is the verse also for you. You are now a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And this is what she realized. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." She realized, "I am God's masterpiece. Yes, I was a prostitute. Yes, I was an adulterer. Yes, I was poor. Yes, I was problematic. But now I am a new creation. And not just that, I am a masterpiece. I am God's workmanship. And my purpose is to share my life, to share God's love to others." And I believe, church, whatever happened in their past, whatever happened to this city has so many problems. The city has so many sin as well in every city, right? But God can turn things around. Whatever situation you have, God can turn things around and use it for His glory. Try to imagine your campus. Maybe your campus is full of premarital sex, drugs, or maybe cheating and hopelessness. Whatever darkness in that campus is, Jesus came in that campus. Jesus came in Siliman. Jesus came in Dumaguete so that Dumaguete can have life abundantly. Imagine your office. Imagine your family. Or maybe try to imagine your marriage, your children. Imagine your life. God is not yet finished with you. God will turn things around as we continue to seek Him and experience His grace. Let me end with this. Whatever the enemy has stolen for his purposes in Christ, God will turn it around to bring us back to His purpose. Amen. Amen.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.